Okay, let us begin. Chav Dalad Amabez. Today's daf is Daf Chav Hey. Some major Shas sugyas come up on Daf Chav Hey. Maseches Yevamos. Hopefully, we'll talk about touch on some of them, whatever we have time for. But first, we have to get through the continuation of yesterday's topic. We're up to the word Meisve, about 15 lines up from the bottom on Chav Dalad Amabez. The Gemara had just been discussing the sugya of Nitan. The Mishnah said that if somebody is nitan, there are rumors floating around that a man was mizana either with a shifcha or with a ovedes kochavim, and then they eventually convert. Lechatchila, he's not allowed to marry them, and if he did, ein motzin miyada, we don't force him to get divorced because it was just a rumor. And Nemuka Yosef said to Racha Darche Noam, so therefore we to only force them to get divorced if there was a vadai. But said the Seifa, hanitan alishas ish, if a man is, there are rumors. Again, this just means we'll see today. This doesn't just mean one person saying something, but it means a serious rumor, a certain level in halacha. So then, even if he marries this woman that he was nitan with, so then Yotzi, he will have to get divorced. Rav came along yesterday, right after the two dots, and said, Ube'edim. What is the case that we are talking about that the halacha is Yotzi, that if he gets divorced, that he gets married, he has to get divorced? So it is only a case where there were edim. What kind of edim? So Rashi quoted, what does edim mean? Ede tuma. That was Shitas Rashi. Rashi says, Koshabo edim al kol harishon sheraouha shezitza imo. Ede tuma. What's the chiddush of Rashi then? Of ede tuma. So we saw that in Muki Yosef, and again the Ritva says it later on today's daf, and that is, even though these edim do not know if this was a case of ones and ratzon, ones would not be a nesra al baila. Only ratzon would be. Still, that's the chiddush, that even though they don't know, we assume that rov nashim that are in this situation are doing it baratzon, so therefore she is neeseres al-baila, and she has neeseres al-bo'ala, and she has to, which is trying to be ba'ala, and then she has to get divorced. Other rishonim, yeah? Sorry, that's with the rumor. There are edim that substantiate the rumors. That's nitan. That's what the Rabban, I think, asked on Rashi, what's the word nitan then? Nitan means rumors, and edim means edim. So it sounds like, according to Rashi, you have to say it's the Edim come. Rashi, Shabo Edim al Kol Harishon. Right? They're substantiating the rumors. Other Rishonim, the Rosh, says that it's Ede Mechuar, as we're going to talk about a little bit later today, but Lav Dafka, that it's an actual Ede Tumah. It's a long discussion in the Rosh. And then we brought a Raya, a Kasha on Rav, which we answered. So now we're up to the second Kasha on Rav by the word Meisve. By the word Meisve. Says the Gemara. He says the Braisa, when do we say that we force him to divorce her? When, let's go with Rashi's pshat, when there are no children from the first marriage. If there are no children from the first marriage, so then forcing him, this Boel, this potential Mizana, forcing him to get divorced from this woman that he took, is not going to cause any problems for the previous children, because there are no previous children. But if there was children from the previous marriage, so let's say again, Reuven was married to Sarah, and there were rumors that Sarah was mizana with Shimon. And now Reuven divorced Sarah, and now Shimon's married. So are we going to force Shimon to get divorced from Sarah? So if there's children from the first marriage of Reuven and Sarah, no, we do not. Why? Because if we force them to get divorced, then people are going to think, oh, there must have really been something happening the first time. This znus must be true. And if this must be true, maybe Reuven and Sarah's children really aren't Reuven and Sarah's children. Maybe they're Shimon and Sarah's children. Maybe they're children of an Eshes Ishes Insa, and maybe there's Mamzerus there. So therefore, we don't want to cause Mamzerus to the first children, even Achshash Mamzerus. So therefore, if there are children from the first marriage, from that case, says Rashi, then lo teitze, we don't force the second marriage, we don't force Shimon to get divorced from Mrs. Reuven, who he is trying to marry. There is a discussion in the post game, I saw interesting in the footnotes here in the Be'ir Adaf, machlokas between the Nefesh Chaya and the Yad Aharon. What about children that were born before the kol was started? Let's say the kol started in Sivan, but there were children from last year, she had children way before the kol. So are we worried? What if there are Yesh Labanim from then? Do we also say that, that we can't force him, Shimon, to get divorced because that's going to cause Mamzerus? How is that going to cause Mamzerus? The children were born before the whole cult started. So you might say pastors, you might say no, it only starts. The children that we're talking about are only children that were born at the time of the cult was public. But?
If
So that's what the Yad Aharon says, that once we know that she was Mizana, it could be that we'll say, who knows, maybe there were other times that she was Mizana earlier that we don't even know about. So that's the Machlokas HaPoskim. What about the children that were born before the call started? Machlokas, do we say only after the call, or do we say no, once there's a call? So maybe we'll assume that there was Nusi even beforehand, and there's a Chashash Mamzerus even for the earlier, or even for the earlier children. Okay, so that's a chilek between Ein Lo Bonim Ayish Lo Bonim. But then the Brisa adds, "V'imbo edei tuma afa pishish l'kama banim teitze." But if there are edim, if there are edei tuma, so then even if she has many children from the first marriage teitze, then she still has to get divorced because that's a daraisa. That's a daraisa. That's an iser. As we know, a woman is mizana, becomes aser to her husband and aser to the one that she was mizana with, aser labal and aser laboel. So therefore, it's a daraisa. But what do you see from the Brisa? The first line of the Brisa, obviously, it's talking about a case without edim. Because what's the second line? The second line says, if there were Edim, Teitzei. Mashma, the first line is even without Edim. What do you mean even without Edim? And you'd have to get divorced even without Edim if there were no children? But what do you mean? Didn't Rav just say that our mission is about a case where there were Edim, and only if there were Edim do we say that, only if there were Edim do we say that she has to get divorced? Kasha on Rav. So the Gemara answers, Rav, Muki, Lola Masitzim, B'yeshla, Edim, B'yeshla, Banim, B'yeshla, Edim. You're right. Rav would say that if there were no children from the first marriage, then even if there were no Edim, we would say Teitzei. But Rav says, our Mishnah is talking about a case where there were children. And if there were children, the only time when we would say Teitzei is if there were Edim. So that's how Rav explains that the Brisa is not a kasha on him. Just one Ahara, I didn't mention before, the Ritva adds, like the Namuki Yosef that I just mentioned earlier, that the Chiddush, if there were Edim, the Chiddush of Teitzei, isn't it a Davar Pashit, it's a Din Daraisa, the Chiddush is if you're not sure if it's Ones or Ratzon. And the Ritva quotes, and a dugma to this is a well-known Gemara in Maseches Ksubis. V'hachi muchach b'perakamad Ksubis. Gabi ha'omer. Anybody, any yeshiva who learns the first paragraph of Ksubis, learns Daf Tes. Ha'da amar abalazar ha'omer pesach basuach matzasi. A man comes to Bezin and says, I got married and I found that my wife was not a basula. Omer peres basuach matzasi nam on the osra alav. He is believed to aser her on him. V'yamrinan, why? The Gemara explains, Mishum de pesach basuach ke'edim dami. Pesach pasuach, when he says that there was no psulim, it's as if there were edim. And whenever there are edim, be'ilu karilu edim tumah. Even though, again, he doesn't know if it was onis or ratzon. That's still a suffix the Gemara discusses. But says the Ritva, it's the same kind of thing here. There were edim. His seeing that she was not a psula is like edim on the tumah. And even though we don't know onis and ratzon, that's still going to create iser. And that's why we're still going to force them to get divorced. But that's how the first answer, how Rav answers the question, how does he learn the Brisa? So ask the Gemara, my duke de Rav, lo'okme lo'mastisan, v'yeshla banam v'yeshla edim. Why does Rav force to explain the Mishnah as a case? Rav says the Mishnah has to be talking about a case where there were edim. And why do we just say? Because he says the Mishnah is a case where she has children, so therefore only if she has edim are we going to force to get divorced, because we're worried about the children. The time of Dika Edim Afkinam, and only because they were Edei Tuma do we say Motzi from the second marriage, V'ilek Edim Lom Afkinam. And if there were no Edim, we would enforce. Lukma, why didn't he learn the Mishnah? B'she'ein Labanim Avakav Deleka Edim. The Mishnah doesn't mention Edim, so wouldn't it have been simpler just to learn the Mishnah without Edim and without Banim? Why is he forced to learn the Mishnah as with Edim and with Banim? So Amar Rava, Masnisan Kishise. Rava says, no, the Mishnah's Lashon already tipped him off that there were Edim. Why? My Arya Datani Hotsi Uha. List the Hotsia. Why does the Mishnah use the Lashon of Hotsi Uha? They were Motzi. Bezdin forced him to get divorced. Listening Hotsiua, why doesn't it just say he divorced his wife? Ella kol Hotsiuha bebezdin. It must be that the case is talking about a case when Bezdin forces him to get divorced. U Bezdin be'edimu demafki. And Bezdin obviously would only force him to get divorced with Edim, according to Rav's opinion. So that's why Rav learns the Mishnah as a case of with Edim, because he learns it from the Lashon of the Mishnah of Hotsiuha, with Edim and with Shulchan. That's answer number one, how Rav interprets the Brisa. V'bayis Ema, a second answer, again, to the original question. What's the original question? Rav explains our Mishnah that in a case of Nitan Alashis Ish, Bezdin will only force him to get divorced from this woman only if there were Edim. The Brisa seems to say even if there weren't Edim. So answer number one is that Rav, these Mishnah and the Braisa are all one Shita. The Braisa is a case without children, and the Mishnah is a case with children. That was answer number one. Answer number two, Vibai Yisema, four lines for the bottom. Hani Masisa Rebihi. Rav would say, you're right. That Mishnah is against me. That's Rebbe. And our Mishnah argues on Rebbe. Rebbe has a very low standard as to when Beis Din would force a man to get divorced from her husband. Tanya, Rochel Yotzei V'Isha Chogeres Besinar. The Braisa says, if a Rochel, a peddler is coming out of a woman's house, V'Isha Chogeres Besinar, and the Isha, the woman, is fixing her clothes as the man is walking out of the house. Fixing her not just her coat, but her actual clothes. And Rashi explains that the Baal sees this. The Baal sees this. Or Amar Rebbe, so in this type of case where there is circumstantial evidence that something just took place, Hol umuchur hadavar teitze. Since something, it looks like something disgusting, so then Bezin will already force her to get divorced from her husband. Or Roklamalam and Akila, they had canopy beds in those days, so if they see some type of saliva on top of the canopy bed, so we assume that was from the Boel who had been in the bed, again, certain circumstantial evidence that a Maisa's Nus took place, and therefore we would force him to get divorced. Or, finishing up, Min Olim Hafuchim Tachas Hamita, if there are overturned shoes under the bed. We'll see what that means in a minute. Amar Rebbe, Hol Mukhor Davar Teitse. Again, Rebbe says, since something disgusting is evidence that it took place, Teitse, we force him to get divorced. Min Olim Hafuchim Lechzi Demaninu. What do you mean, turned over shoes? Whose shoes are they? Are they the Boel shoes? Are they the husband's shoes? What do you mean, who turned over shoes? The first two are circumstantial evidence. What do the turned over shoes have anything to do with it? So says the Gemara, Ella makom min olim hafuchim. No, you look. Remember, they didn't have floors like we have. They had dirt floors. So you see in the dirt floor a place where shoes were that were turned over, meaning somebody obviously was trying to hide something. Min olim hafuchim, they didn't want to put their shoes the right way. You see the space. You see maybe laces. You don't see the bottom part where the shoes were. That's the first pshat of Rashi. Nikar makom hafichasan. So you know something fishy is going on here. Rashi quotes another pshat that maybe it means min olim hafuchim. You found the wife's shoes in the place where the husband usually puts his shoes. So she was trying. She obviously was trying to hide whose shoes were there. But then Rashi likes the first pshat. Okay, but that is the answer of the Gemara. So again, what did the Gemara say? Rav really says, I think the Mishnah is a case of Edim, and only if there were Edim would Beis Din force the woman to get divorced. That Braisa is like Rebbe. Rebbe says, even with just circumstantial evidence, there would already be cause for a divorce. This is really a machlokes, how to understand this Braisa, between Rashi and other Rishonim. So as I said, Rashi, on the third wide line, on Chavdal and Abayis, Rashi quotes, Demafik Isha Mibayla Bakal Kaldahu. Rashi quotes that this Shita of Rebbe is what would Beis Din do to force the husband to divorce his wife? The original case. So just like the original husband and wife who get divorced according to Rebbe with a kol tahu or with a circumstantial evidence, so too, says Rav, that would also extend to the case of the Boel and the woman. Tosfos here and other Rishonim argue with Rashi. They say no. Even Rebbe wouldn't say that a husband and wife who are fully married for years, they would, Bezin would force him to get divorced. Says Rebbe, he says Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos, Amar Rabbeinu Tam, the Teitzim in Arochel, im Nisislo. No, so this evidence is, this standard, this cooler Chumrah, this halacha of Rebbe is only talking about being divorced from the Rochel, from the Boel. But from the Baal, even Rebbe would say, you have a higher standard of evidence that is required. Period. Okay, back to where we're up to. The Hilchah Kavasi the Rabbi, Hilchah Kavasi the Rabbi. The Halacha is like Rav, and Hakalacha is like Rebbe. So what does that mean? Halacha is like Rav and Rebbe. Right? So Rav says that you need Edom, and Rebbe says you don't need Edom. So which is it? Kasha Hilchah, Hilchah. So lo kasha, it depends on the kind of rumor, the kind of call. Haba call it the Pasik, haba call it the lo Pasik. Is it a call that's Pasik, that stops, that's not constant, or a call it's lo Pasik, or a call that is lo pasik, that does not stop, that is constant. What does a call of the pasik mean? So a call of the pasik, we would have said, that just means it dies out after a while. But Rashi specifically does not say that. Rashi says in the fifth skinny line, she yatsa kol acher lomar sheker hu halaz. What does call of the pasik mean? Another call went out and said nothing happened. Not that the call that something happened just died out. Specifically, it sounds like from Rashi, the Achronim point out, that from Rashi that if it just dies out, that's not good enough. That's still considered a call de lo pasik. You need a specific call, another rumor to go out that this guy's a kosher. This guy, nothing wrong and nothing happened. So a chilip between call de pasik and call de lo pasik. Call de lo pasik v'laka edim karebi. If it's a call that does not stop, and there were no specific edim on the Tumah Karebi, then that looks like Rebbe. Again, Rebbe who says that you don't need edim, if it's a constant rumor, and the Ritva adds in, there are edei kiur, like we saw, like there are edim that this circumstantial evidence occurred, so then we'd go like Rebbe. If it's that serious type of call, we would go like Rebbe even without edim. Call it a pasik, but if it's a call that stopped, v'ika edim, but there are edei Tumah, the way Rashi learned it before, kirav, so then we would go like Rav. How long is a call that does not stop? We have this in Moed Katan. Amar Abaya, Amar Li'aim, Dume Demasa Yoma Upalka. 1.5 days. The Chashudim of the city, 1.5 day straight of a call, that's enough to say to be substantial. Velo Amran El Delapasik Beni Beni. And it's only good 1.5 day straight, without any hafsekim in the middle. Doesn't stop in the middle. I will pasak beni beni, but if it stops in the middle, the Rashi learned, you have another rumor that says nothing happened in the middle, so hapasak, so then it's not considered a continuous call. Velo Amran, and the Gemara continues with another limitation, velo Amran ela telo pasak machmas yira. And the only time that a pasak, that it stops, and it's considered a hafsek, is only where it's not done because they fear the person. But if the kol specifically stops because they're in fear of the person, so then machlas yirahu, so then you say that's not considered a hafsik, because they just stopped out of fear, they're scared of the guy. But really, that would be considered a kol de lo pasik. Last point, v'lo amran el deleka oivim. And also, this whole discussion is only if the guy who is under discussion doesn't have any enemies out there that's trying to besmirch him. Aval ika oivim. But if there are enemies out there, oivim hudaf afkule lakala. But then we assume it must be that it's not a serious call because his enemies are being mafik the call. Period. The Shar Misyan and Balacha here has two important questions and ha'aris. Number one, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Edus that a sone is kasher lahaid. Even if somebody who hates, you know, somebody, two people don't get along. We assume that they're not going to lie under oath. They're not going to lie in testimony in Beis Din. So what do you mean, oivim? We don't trust the oivim, the rumors of the oivim. What's the difference? A son, even by edus, kasher lahaid. A soni is kasher lahaid. Somebody who hates you. So the Sma explains, only a soni is only pasul adun. Because they die and you make decisions, so that we're not going to let a soni do. Bishop Sinna noted, daitov esvar shalal achiyuv. Avalinian edus lo chashkinan lay. So what's the difference between this case of edus and the case of kol? So he says, "Venira the yesh mechalik." You have to be mechalik. In Beis Din, people aren't going to lie. In Beis Din, people are more serious. People aren't going to lie. To start a rumor, I'll start a rumor. I'll start a rumor about somebody. You know, something negative. Maybe it's not going to get back to me. Nobody knows about it. I'm not under oath. I didn't have to keep the chayfetz. So he says, you have to be mechalik between the din of edus, where we say a sone is allowed to, and we trust him, versus a case where it's just a kol. So then we're choshed the sone. Number one. Number two, he says, "V'tzarech biur hari l'kol adam yesh oivim." Everybody has people that don't like them. What do you mean? If he has oivim, we don't trust the rumor. What? Everybody in life, everybody loves them. Everybody's insulted somebody, or if they didn't insult them purposely, the other people took offense. So what do you? But everybody, people have seen Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech. Even they had oivim. Even they had people who would start rumors about them. Moshe and Aaron. Right? Look at the midbar. They get in the mud. Right, the Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi, the Rashi is here for Bar Midrash, coming up in a few weeks. Moshe Rabbeinu leaves early. Moshe Rabbeinu leaves late. Whatever he does, they're being Dalma Kavchova. So everybody has oivim that they're worried that rumors are going to start. So he just leaves it with Sarach Ian. What exactly is the definition of oivim? Right, the Gemara says oivim is somebody doesn't say hello to you for 3 days. I don't know if that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. I don't know if we could say that Bizman Azeh. Because sometimes we could have good friends that we don't see for 6 months. It's not an oyev. But maybe somebody who wouldn't say hello to you for 3 days, if they would walk by you on the street for 3 days straight without saying hello. Either way, he brings up that ha'ara, that what does it mean? How do you define oivim? Okay, period. New topic related to what we discussed before. It's not hasa. Mishnah Maseches Gittin. Hamotzi es ishto mishum shemra lo yachzir, mishum neder lo yachzir. What's the case here? man's going to divorce his wife because he hears certain rumors about her. He's going to divorce his wife. Says the Mishnah, Meseches Gittin, Beis Din tells him that, you know what, if you're divorcing your wife because you're worried about Mosi Shemra, there was a Shemra that was rumored about her, you're not going to be able to take her back. You're not going to be able to take her back. You know, there's an Issa Daraisa we discussed in the first parak of Maxer Grushaso. You can't take back your divorced wife if somebody married her in between. But this is even without that. Let's say nobody married her in between. There's an Issa Darabanan. Chazal say, you know what, if you're divorcing your wife because of Mosi Shemra, you're not going to be able to take her back. Or Mishum Neder. Mishum Neder. If a woman was made a Neder, the husband cannot live with this Neder. And the husband says, you know, he's divorcing his wife. Beis Din again says, you know what? Even if this woman in the future finds a hefter to her neder, and the chacham can remove her neder, you can't remarry her. So therefore, be very cautious before you divorce her, because you're not going to be able to return to marry her. Why does Beis Din make this din drabanan? It's an issa drabanan. You can't return your wife to your, you can't be maxir grushaso, in the case of, if you divorce her because of the Moti Shemer, neder, because we're worried, Rashi explains, this is based on the Gemara over there, according to one opinion, we're worried that the husband's going to wake up 2 months later, after this woman already got remarried, 2 years later, after this woman got remarried and already has new children, and he's going to say, you know what? If I would have known that these rumors were totally unfounded, then I would never have divorced you. I didn't really want to. I don't want to divorce you. I love you. I don't want to divorce you. So if I would have known, or if I would have known that your neder would have been taken away by the chacham, I wouldn't have divorced you. So the get wasn't a real serious get. I didn't have complete das in my get. So what's going to happen? Rahman al-Islan, he's going to end up making the second marriage not allowed, and banei mamzerim. So Chazal made an iser derabanan. If you divorce your wife because of Moti Shemra, because of neder, you better make sure that you know you know full-heartedly what you're doing, because you're never going to be able to remarry her. And therefore, even if he says later on, if I would have known, Beis Din says, tough luck, you knew, because we warned you. We warned you that no matter what, you're never going to be able to remarry her, and therefore you better check it out very carefully. So that's the din. There's an iser derabanan in that Mishnah that if a person divorces his wife because of Shemra or because of Nander, he's not allowed to take her back. Asks the Gemara. Shalach le Rava bar Huna le Rava bar Rav Nachman. Yilamdeni Rabbeinu kanas Moshe Yotzi. What if he remarried her against the will of the rabbis? He remarried, he was divorced his wife because of Moshe Shemra, and then he remarried her. Do we force him to get divorced? How much teeth was there in this Isser Durabanan? Do we force him? So Amar le Tanina. So here's where it relates. Says Rav Nachman, Rabbi Rav Nachman back. What do you mean? Isn't it like our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, right, Daf Chav Dalad, Hanitan Aleshas Ish, V'hotziyah Mitachas Yada, what was our case from yesterday? If a man, there are rumors between a man and a woman, and the Beis Din forces the man to get divorced, and then the Boel marries her, Avav Mishakanas Yosi. Our Mishnah says that they have to get divorced. So what's the difference between that case and the case of the Mishnah in Gittin, where he divorces his wife, Mishum Shemra, or Mishum Neder? The Rishonim are bothered by this comparison. It's very shaky, as the Gemara is about to reject it. The Rashba says it's in a general sense. In both places, Chazal told you not to do something, and you did it. Because it's a very tenuous connection, as we're going to see. There are major differences between the two cases. So the Rashba just says, V'lo yadati dimyon, bein inya nitan lahacha. What's the comparison? Im yechabreim, if you want to connect the two, hadimyon mitzad she'asru chachamim kan v'kan shelo yechnos. They both said, don't do something. But again, it's a very general comparison, as we're going to see. So Amar Lei, so what's the suggestion? Just like in our Mishnah, in the case of the rumored Eishes Ish, they have to get divorced. So too in that case, where he remarries his wife, he has to get divorced. So Amar Lei midam, he says, how could you compare the two cases? Hasam hotziu aha. Over there, in our case, Beis Din forced him to get divorced. If Beis Din forces him, that's a din daraisa. As Rob said, there are eidim there, eidim tumov. It's a din daraisa. So of course we're going to make him get divorced from the boel and the woman are going to have to get divorced because Beis Din forced him because there's a surah la boel. But here he himself decided to divorce his wife. So maybe that's only an isur l'chadchila. Maybe the Beis Din says, don't do it, but if he did it, who says he has to get divorced? So don't compare the two cases. For Rabbi Bar of Nachman, Masi Zanami Hotziya Tanan. But Rabbi says, no, Rabbi has the Gersa in our Mishnah, also of Hotziya, that he divorced his wife on his own. Beis Din didn't force. So we're back to the question. They're both the Rabbanan. So v'yakati midami. Again, says the Gemara, though you still cannot compare them, even if they're both in the world of Durabanan. Hachabal v'hasam boel. Over there in Mishnah and Gittin, we're talking about the original husband taking her back. The original husband taking her back, Rashi says, the ain dover ze magunahu. That's not so maguna. So the husband decided to take the wife back. You know, maybe she didn't marry anybody in between. There was a reason of mamzeris lechatchila. But who said that's not such a maguna? But over there it's the boel. There it's the rumored guy. So we're going to allow him to stay married? That itself substantiates the rumors. So therefore there's a difference between the baal and the boel. Amalei. But the Gemara persists. Shaper dami ahadadi, but still they're both drabanan. Hach amar rabanan lo yichlas imkanas yotzi. Hach anami amar rabanan lo yachlas imkanas yotzi. Still, if they're both drabanan, why should there be a difference between the baal and the boel? So the Gemara says no. Explains it a little deeper. Velohi hasam alume alme lakala. Over there, by our Mishnah, as we just explained, the boel is marrying her, so that's substantiating the original kol. And that's a maisa maguna. That's terrible. That if there was a nitan and now he marries her, so Bezdin says no way. You have to get divorced. Hacha, but in this case, Amrinan kimle bakala valasa. Here maybe he's even helping her out, right? If the baal decides to remarry his wife, maybe that's a good thing. Everybody will say, oh, it must have been that the original rumors were unfounded. Okay, end of the sugya of nitan. Mishnah Masnisa. So now we get into a couple of Shas sugyas. How may we get? This mission is also brought in Maseches Gittin. How may we get? Maybe dinas hayam the yomer b'fani nechtav u'b'fani nechtam lo yisez ishta. You know, the first couple of blad in Maseches Gittin is the big sugya b'fani nechtav u'b'fani nechtam. Meaning, if a get comes from Medinas Hayam, from outside of Eretz Yisrael, the aid, the shliach that is bringing the get, must say, b'fanai nechtav, in front of me, this get was written l'shma, u'b'fanai nechtam, and it was signed l'shma, and everything was kedas u kedin. Why does that have to be said? Why do we need b'fanai nechtam? So Rashi quotes one of the reasons. There are two reasons there given on the first six vlad of Gittin, Rabba and Rava. So Rashi quotes here, Lefisha ain bekiyin lishma, because the people in outside of Israel are not experts in writing gittin lishma. A get has to be written l'shem the baal, l'shem the isha has to be written very carefully lishma. People outside of Israel are not, besides Bavel, are not bekiyin. So therefore, the shliach has to come and say, you know what? It was written lishma. B'fani nechta v'b'fani nechta. Says our Mishnah, that shliach that comes and says that is not allowed to marry this woman. Because we're worried that maybe he's making up the story, because he wants to marry her. So this woman, lo yisez ishto, this is the Rabbanan, for he himself to marry her, as Rashi explains, adibure samchinam, we're relying on his own words. The Mara Cohen in the back, the Bitsalami Vilna, just has ha'ara, he's just bothered why Rashi quotes that reason. For ein b'ki, for b'fani nechtam, at the end of that sugya, on daf hei, daf vavim zechaz gittin, the Gemara ends up saying that everybody agrees to the other reason. This reason is a machlokas. What's the other reason? Ein eidim mitzuyin l'kaimo. We know there's something called kiyim shtaros. In order for a shtar to be to work in Beis Din, we need to verify the shtaros. Kiyim shtaros. And that is, let's say you have a shtar, we need two people to come to testify that this a signature is really this a signature, and we verify the shtar, we give it a stamp, a seal of approval, and in that way, anybody who comes tries to argue that to say that the shtar is forged, we're not going to list them. Once there's kiyim shtaros. So the other reason that the shliach has to say b'fani nechtam is because where are these witnesses that signed on this get? They're far away. Out of Medinas Hayam. Let's say the husband comes and says the shtar is forged. We don't want to have problems. So therefore, the shliach himself prevents that by saying right now this star is good, and he's already mekayim the star right now, and therefore there won't be any future problems if the baal comes to be ma'arer. So that's the other reason given. So ask the Mara Cohen in the back here, why does Rashi quote one reason, which is not the main reason? The other reason is the one that everybody holds up. So he doesn't answer it. So Achian, that's our homework for today. That's why does Rashi quote this reason of ein b'ki in l'shma and not the other reason? Okay, so if he brings a get, he can't marry the woman. As we just said, fine, let's go to the next line. Mace, what if a man comes and says, Mrs. Reuven died. Reuven died, this is the whole second half of Maseches Yevamos, from Daf Peches till the end. Eidus Isha. right? Eidus Isha, which is the, we have lower standards of Eidus when it comes to Eidus regarding a husband having died, a husband having been killed, and a woman can get remarried. We're going to talk a little bit about it today, and then the whole second half of the Masechta gets into it. So, mates, what if a man comes and says, your husband died? Haragtiv, I killed your husband. Haragnuhu, we killed your husband. Lo Yisa Zishto, in all these cases, Lo Yisa Zishto, he, the person talking, is not allowed to marry the woman. But, Rashi explains, other people can. Only he can't. Because again, we're worried he's making up a story because he wants to marry this woman. But other people, we trust that the husband is dead, and other people are allowed to marry this woman. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, what kind of svar? Well, Gemara's going to talk about it, but what, for the other woman?
Yeah, if he's dead, he's dead. If he's not dead, he's not dead.
If he's dead, that's why we assume that he is dead. We can trust, why can't he himself? Because yeah. Regarding he himself, maybe we're choshesh that, you know, he would make up the story so he can marry. But if it's somebody else, ain't on the mechotzi below low, I'm not going to sin so you can get benefit. So therefore, we say that other people, we trust him, lagabi others, but not regarding himself. We'll comment one more in a minute. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda is mechalik. And the Gemara will talk about why. Haraktiv, I killed your husband. Lo tinasi ishto. Then nobody's allowed to marry the woman, because as we'll see, we throw out the whole testimony. Rib haragnuhu. But if we killed him, tinasi ishto, then, as the Gemara is going to explain, this is going to mean that I was there, but I didn't actually do it, tinase ishto, then his wife can't get married. So why, if he says, I killed, according to the Tanakhama, can it not work? Interesting, machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi says, as we explained, because we're worried that he's making up a story so that he can marry this woman. The Rambam has an amazing line. The Rambam here in the Pirush of Mishnah, he says, no, because we're worried. If he's going to be able to marry her, we're worried people are going to go kill men so that they can marry their wives. We're worried that he's going to Shema Yaharog es. I'll read you the Lashon. He says we're worried that if he knows that he could kill this guy and testify about it and marry the woman, so then Gzeira shekol misha yachshok eishes ish yaharog bailav yisaena. So if he knows that he's never going to be able to marry her anyway, so then he's not going to do it. This reminds me of the Mitzrayim by Avram Avinu, right? In Yiras Elokim Makom Hazeh. What was Avram worried about? Right, he's worried about they're going to kill him so they can marry Sarah. What? They're so worried about Gilui Arayos. They're so worried. But they would have Shvichas Damim. They'll kill Avraham. But they would never live with Sarah while she's married to Avraham. Chas v'shalom. Same thing here. So we're worried that the guy's going to kill the woman so that he can marry her. Okay, so we have priorities in life. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara now. Taima. So back to the first case of the Mishnah. That if somebody says b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, so he's not allowed to marry her. Why? The only reason that we say that this Ishliya cannot marry the woman is because we're relying on his testimony. He came from Medina Sayyam and we're relying on him. Avol may Eretz Yisrael, but if somebody brings a get from Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara Gittin says, if you bring a get from Israel, you do not have to say b'fani nechtav b'fani nechtam. Why? Because people in Israel are Bakiyan and Edom are around. So according to both reasons, you do not have to say. So in that case, if somebody brings a get within Israel, so we're not relying on him at all, he says Ishto. So then we'd say that he would be able to marry this woman. Says the Gemara. So what about the following case? We're saying the rule is whenever you rely on him, he can't marry her. If you don't rely on him, you can. V'hames. But what about in the second case where he says, your husband died. The lava lake has a chinan. If somebody comes and says the husband dies, we're really not relying on him. This is a crucial line for the whole second half of the Masechta. After all, why is this woman allowed to get remarried if the man comes and says your husband died? To Amar Mar, Isha, Daika, Umintzava. Because there's a special chazaka that if a woman is getting remarried, she obviously did her research, she obviously checked out very carefully that her husband died. Because she doesn't want to have any mamzeris issues, she doesn't want to have any problems in the future getting remarried. So there's a chazaka that she herself did her own research. So we're really not relying on this man who said your husband died. That might have been the motivation for her researching it, but really it's her herself. So then, Bektani lo yisa zishto. And yet, we say that if he comes and says your husband died, he can't get married. Ask the Gemara, why not? Why not? We're not really relying on him, we're relying on her. So the Gemara answers, no. Hasam leka ksava. By the mace, there's no ksav. We are relying on him somewhat. There's no shtar here that stands out, stands by itself. Hacha ika ksava. But the case of the get in Eretz Yisrael, we're really not relying on him, because the get speaks for itself. The get speaks for itself, as he's not really helping us. Tithan, as the Mishnah says, ma beget lemisa shaksav mochiach. Period. The Rashba points out here, and the other Rishonim, that really this issue about who we're relying on is a suffix later on. The Gemara assumes like one opinion here, but really is a suffix. Do we say that really it's the woman because daiko minsava, or do we say it's the man based on another important principle of milsa da'aviti ligluye? Somebody won't lie about something that could be revealed, obviously, that he was lying. Meaning, I'm not going to say somebody died if the guy could walk in at any moment. And then I'm going to be upschlagged and I'm not going to be able to have any foot to stand on. So really there's a suffix about that later on, but the Gemara here is assuming like one of the studim. Yeah.
Could she ever go to Bezdin and say, you know, if a husband's not around for 3 years, I want to go check it out? Is that an
income? Could she ever come and say, I want to get married? I mean, if she doesn't know, no, it's a suffix.
Right, so the
if she comes and checks it out and says, I know Bavadai, how does she know Bavadai? Bezdin will do their research.
No, but that guy is crucial, in other words.
That guy is crucial. Well, that's the suffix. That's what the maskani here. The maskani is there's no ksav, so we are relying on him somewhat. But we're gonna talk about.
You never get married without somebody coming.
Well, we're gonna talk about isha, edmipiyed, katan, basko. Well, the Mishnah talk about that there are many different standards that you can rely on a basko. You know that your husband died. You know, but again, we're gonna talk about that later in the Masechta. Okay, two dots. In all these cases, the Tanakhama says, he died, I killed him, we killed him, he can't marry the woman. But others can. Only he can't marry her, but others can. Others can marry her. Ask the Gemara, why is that true? Why can others marry by the testimony, if he says, I killed your husband, why could others marry? The Amar of Yosef, didn't Rav Yosef say, Ploni Rav Ani La Onsi? If a man comes to Bezdin and says, so-and-so was Roveah me, was sodomized me La Onsi. He forced me, he raped me. Such and such a man raped me. Hu Va'acher Mitztarfin Lahargo. This victim and someone else, you need to aid him, could be Mitztarev to kill the perpetrator. If it's Ones. Why? Because in that case, he's not saying anything wrong about himself. He was ba'ones, and therefore he and another guy can even start to testify about the roveya. Lertzoni, but says of Yosef, what if he says, so-and-so did it, lertzoni, I was a willing participant, so then can he and somebody else, he can't kill himself, obviously, but can he and somebody else testify against the other guy, the attacker? Russia who? No. We throw out his whole testimony because he's a Russia. Halachically is a Russia. Torah Amra, Al Tashi Yatzim Russia Lios Eid Chamas. You can't testify if you're a Russia. And therefore we throw out his whole testimony. So therefore ask the Gemara. Why don't we throw out his whole testimony in our Mishnah? He says, I killed Reuven. How could anybody get married based on his testimony? He's a Russia. We can't trust him. We can't trust him. He's admitting that he was a Russia. So we can't. Why does just like in that case of Ploni Ravani Lertzoni, we throw out his whole testimony. So why don't we throw out his whole testimony in the case of our Mishnah? Why is it a Drabbanan that he can't marry her? Nobody should be able to marry her because we should throw out his whole testimony. That's the question. The Chitema Shiny Edus Isha Daki Lebe Rabbanan. And if you want to say, we're going to finish the whole thing and then we'll talk about it. And if you want to say, maybe Edus Isha is different, as we just alluded, there's special coolness by Edus Isha. So really, you're right, we should throw out the whole testimony. But by Edus Isha, we say, you know what, other people can still marry. But that's not true. V'amr of Menashe, Gazlon de Devrayim Karshula Edus Isha, Gazlon de Devray Torah Apostle Edus Isha. What do we say is allowed by Edus Isha for getting a woman remarried? Only Durabanan problems. But the Oraisa problem, the Orais, people who are puzzled to Oraisa to testify, they can't testify for Edus Isha. Right? So here we're talking about a Rotzeach. A Rotzeach is a Psul Doraisa. So how is it? We're back to the question of why don't we throw out the whole testimony in our Mishnah? Isn't it a Doraisa problem? Name Rav Menashe, Damar Krav Yehuda. Are we forced into saying that Rav Menashe, who says this chilek, that only Durabanan problems are allowed, but the Oraisa problems are not allowed by Edus Isha, are we forced to say that he holds like Rav Yehuda, the second Shita in our Mishnah, who holds that we do throw out the testimony. We throw out the testimony if he says, I killed him. So are we forced to say that Rav Menashe must hold like Rav Yehuda? So before we move on, just one Ha'ara by the Aruch Lanair. The Aruch Lanair here asks, What's Rav Yosef's shita? Rav Yosef says, again, this is a huge sugya in Sanhedrin. Rav Yosef says that if I say, if somebody says, Ploni Ravani La Onsi, somebody raped me, I'm believed. Lertzoni, I'm not believed. There's a principle called Migu. It's a principle called Migu. Since you could have said something else, we'll believe you to your taina now. So ask the Arach Laner, why don't we say, when he says Lertzoni here, why don't we say Migu that he could have said La'onsi, he could have said La'onsi and he would have been believed, because that's a case where he wouldn't have been saying anything wrong about himself, so he should be believed about Lertzoni. So why can't we say that? Migu that he believed, that he said Lertzoni, similar, says the Arach Laner, similar to the case over there in Meseches Ksubis, the Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara says, let's say if Edom come to court, they bring a shtar that they sign, and they say, you know what? This is a forged document. We were paid off to sign this. We were paid off to sign this. We were paid $1 million, but it's a forged document. So Tosfos there, it says, so why don't we believe them? Because they could have said that they had a gun to their head and they were forced to sign it. Anusamachmas nefashos. Believe them to say anusamachmas mamon, because they could have said anusamachmas nefashos. That's Tosfos kasha there. It says the Arach Laner, why don't you say the same thing here? So the Arach Laner says, fine, say it. So now what's going to happen? Over there, you do say it, right? You say, because he could have said Anusamach was the fasho, so you believe in that Anusamach was mammon. You believe in they all paid off, and therefore what? You throw out the shtar. You say it's false. So say the same thing here, says the Arach Laner. Since he could have said Ploni Ravani La'onsi, believe him that is Ploni Ravani L'Rtzoni. So therefore you believe him, so you believe him, so you throw him out of court. So you say the Migu, you say the Migu. But you say, okay, you just admitted that you did a terrible act. So you throw him out of court, so you do say the Migu. So there's no problem here. It says, why do you say the Migu? So you do say the Migu, says the Arach Laner, and you still would throw him out of court.
But by the murder, believe him that he was the murderer, because then he could have said it was an accident?
Believe him that he was a murderer, because he could have said it was an accident. But you still believe him, therefore you throw him out, says the Arach Laner. So over here, you believe him, therefore you throw the shtar out of court. So here you believe him, and therefore you throw him out of court. So back to the Kasha. So says the Gemara, are we forced to say that Rav Menashe is like Rav Yehuda? Rav Menashe, who says that all the Oraisa problems are not believed by Eidus Isha, is like Rav Yehuda? So Rav Menashe, not the Amri Filo Rabbana. No, says Rav Menashe, I could fit it even according to the Tanakhama Shita. The time of the Rabbana, Hacha Kid the Rava. And why? Because the Rabbanan could hold like Rava. Yomar Rava. Rava argues on the previous Rav Yosef. What did Rav Yosef say? If a man says Lertzoni, we throw the whole thing out. Rava says no. Rava says the topic of Palginon Dibura. We halachically split his words. Adam Karabetz al Atzmo, but ain't Adam Mesam Atzmo Rasha. A person is not allowed to condemn himself. Ain't Adam Mesam Atzmo Rasha. And therefore, when a person says so and so attacked me Lertzoni, I could believe him to talk about so-and-so, but right when he says the word Lertzoni, we throw that out. Because a person is not allowed to make himself into a Rasha. Ein adam eisam asma Rasha. And therefore, the Gemara doesn't quote those two words here, but this is the Shita of Palgid and Dibura, and therefore we believe him about so-and-so, but we don't believe him about himself. So says Rav Menashe, that's what the Tanakhama holds in our Mishnah. So the fact that he says, I killed Reuven, we don't believe him about that fact. We just believe him about the fact that Reuven is dead. And therefore, other people can marry her, even though he can't. Period. Let's continue for a little bit, and then we'll talk about this important topic. Lamer of Yosef to Amr Rav Yehuda. So now, how about Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef, who said on the previous Amud, Rav Yosef says, though, that Lertzoni, we throw him totally out of court. So is he forced to say like Rav Yehuda, the second sheet in our Mishnah, who says that if he says, oh, I killed your husband, then we throw everything out? So I'm like, Rav Yosef, no, I'm not Damir Filo the Rabbanon. Rav Yosef, no, I could also fit into the Rabbanon. V'shayni Eidus Isha, Daki Lebe Rabbanon. And there's a difference between Eidus Isha, special kulas. Rav Menashe, what about Rav Menashe? Damir Rav Yehuda. In other words, each shita, Rashi explains, each shita, Rav Yosef and Rava, both want to be like the Rabbanan. And they both want to say like, the other guy's like Rav Yehuda. Because they want to be like the Rabbanan. They want to be like the Tanakhama. So that's how we just explained the Mishnah. So this is a big sugya of Ein Adam Mesam Asma Rasha. Yeah?
Nobody even differentiates between saying that you're a murderer and that you're a godless about money?
No, they're both. A difference between murderer and God. No, the sugya of Ein Adam Mesam Asma Rasha means that, no, you can't incriminate yourself. Can't incriminate yourself. Let's talk about that a little bit. So here, besides Ein Adam Mesam Asma Rasha, Rava first says, what's the svara for that? Why can't you incriminate yourself? Ein Adam Mesam Asma Rasha. So the, our Gemara, not every Gemara has this line, but our Gemara starts off with the line of Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo. A person's related to himself. A person related to himself. And that's one. So a person related, so you can't testify about a Karov, about a relative of yours, say you're your greatest relative. So therefore, you cannot testify about yourself. And that's why Ein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha, number one. But if that's true, says Rabbi Chanan, that if the problem at root is a psul of Karov, then let's say in a case where you wouldn't, where it's not an Eidus context, maybe you would be believed. For example, let's say two Eidim come and testify that you ate treif. You ate treif and you're chayav a carbon chatas. You ate treif b'shogeg. So you come to court and say, no, I did it b'mezid. I did it b'mezid. I'm sorry, so I'm not chayav a carbon. I only get the b'gibri a carbon, I did it b'shogeg. So Tosfos here says, dibur masel v'ein, you'd be believed there. Why? Because that's not Eidus. When you say I did it b'mezid, that's not Eidus, or you're testifying about somebody else. That's just saying, I don't want to bring a carbon, a chulun lazara. I'm not really chayav a carbon. So in that type of case, you would be believed, because there's no real Eidus. That's number one, if it's all about Karov. The Rambam, though, might have a different idea about Ein Adam Eitzel Atzmo Rasha. Says the Rambam in Perek Yud Ches and Hilchas Sanhedrin, there are people out there that are masochists. There are people out there that want to be tortured. And Beis Din is not allowed to help them with their desire. And therefore, if somebody comes to court and says, I'm Chayav Malchus, I'm Chayav Misa, this is what I did, you can't punish him. Because who knows, maybe this guy is depressed and he wants to get hit. Shem Minitrafa Daita Badavar Zeh, Shem Minha Amelim Mari Nefesh, Shem Chakim Lamus. So, you're not allowed to trust a person. Eid Adam Eitzel Atzmo Rasha, because you're not allowed to punish yourself. You can't self-incriminate yourself to punish yourself. It's a beautiful Radvaz. If you never saw this Radvaz, the end of Perek Yud Ches and Hilchas Sanhedrin in the Frankels. The Radvaz says, why can't you incriminate yourself and punish yourself? Because your body is not yours. Ein nafsho shel adam kinyano el kinyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you can't hurt yourself. You're not allowed to scratch yourself. You're not allowed to hurt yourself. Your body is not yours. We have it for a certain amount of time. We're the Shomrim, but really our body is not ours, and therefore we have no jurisdiction to inflict pain or wounding on ourselves. This sugya of Ein Adam Eitzel Atzmo Rasha comes up in a number of tshuvas. I'll mention two of them, and then we have to move on. Number one, the Noda B'Yehuda has a case where a man did chalitza, and then his chalutza got remarried. And then, right at the wedding of the woman to this new husband, the chalitz gets up and says, "You know what? I'm a lefty. The chalitza was pasul. I did it with my right foot, but I was lying. I'm really a lefty. You know why? Because I think my brother had millions, and you're not telling me about them. So I wanted to mess you up. So I did the chalitza in a pasul way because I wanted to mess you up." Shaila came to know the Behuda. Do we believe this guy? Do we believe this guy? Ein Adam Eitzel Atzmo Rasha. He's saying that he messed up the chalitza. Do we say that he would do that? So that's one tshuva. Again, he talks about a number of issues, but number one, Ein Adam Eitzel Atzmo Rasha. Chasam Sofer has a tshuva. He talks about a Chavos Yar. Chavos Yar has a tshuva where a woman's on her, a man or a woman. Let me just see, I remember what the case is. The Chavos Yar says, a woman. A woman was on her deathbed. She was on her deathbed, and the rabbi comes and is doing vidui with her, and she admits to being mezana with another man. And all of a sudden, she gets better. She gets better. So, do we force? Does she have to get divorced from her husband? Do we say that on the deathbed, everybody tells the truth? Ein Adam Eitzel Atzmo Rasha. Again, this comes up in Shuvas. So Chasam Sofer quotes this in a case that he had, where there was a shochet that was on his deathbed, and the shochet died, actually. But the shochet is listing off all these averas that he did, and then he says, "You know what? And plenty of times, I didn't tell people that I trafed up the meat. I was dochek leparnasa. I traped up the meat. What could I do? I had difficulties." So again, Ein Adam Eitzel Atzmo Rasha. What do we say on the deathbed? Things are different. But again, these are the post can talk about it. Is it dafka for onshim? Because these cases are not onshim, but it's just incriminating yourself. So how far does this principle go? Okay, let's continue. Haraktiv haragnuhu tinasei. So the Rebbe Yehuda had said, and again, Palgin and Dibur is a huge sugya. We don't have time for it. Maybe we'll talk about it for 2 minutes at the beginning of tomorrow's shir, but let's continue now. So Rebbe Yehuda had the chiluk. Rebbe Yehuda said, if a man says, "I killed your husband," then nobody's allowed to get married. If he says, "We killed your husband," then she can. So Maishah Raktiv and Maishah Raknuhu, what's the difference? I'm Rebbe Yehuda, ba'omer ani hayisi imharga. No, because we interpret when he says, "We killed your husband," that I was there when your husband was killed. but I didn't actually do it. That's what Tosfos says, Dibur Maskil, but Omer, we interpret it as if he says, I was with those. Vahatanya, and that's exactly, but this is not Akasha Vahatanya, this is Benichusa, as this conversation happens as follows. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim told Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim who say that, even if he says, I killed, and they could get married, there was a bandit that was taken out to be killed in the crossroads of Kaputkia. And he says to them, he's about to be killed, he says, go tell Shimon's wife, the son of the Kohen, I killed her husband, she could get remarried. When he was coming into Lud, and they married the woman based on that. So the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Yehuda, don't you see that if a person says, I killed so-and-so, that you could act based on that testimony? No. What he really said there was, I was with the murderers, but not that I was the murderer. Ivaha listim k'tani. It said that he was listim. He was the bandits. So he said, no. Shenitfas aide listios. No, he was caught because he was with the bandits. We don't know for sure that he was a bandit. What do you mean he's getting killed? We wouldn't kill him because he was with the bandits, you know, unless he did something. So Beidina dov dikochavim lo taki v'kali. It wasn't a Jewish court. Jewish court obviously wouldn't kill a person based on this, but it was a Beidina dov dikochavim, and therefore that's why they were killing him. Period. Okay, hopefully we'll mention 1 or 2 minutes more about Pagim and Dibura tomorrow. But first, let's continue. Similar cases to what we had earlier. All right, next parak tomorrow, Mesechus Yevamos, we'll get back to Yevamos. New parak. Now we're still on these other related topics. A woman comes to a rabbi and says, I made a promise. My husband couldn't be made for it. That's how Rashi explains. My husband couldn't help me out. Could you be matir my neder? And the Chacham says, sorry, I can't be matir your neder. And because of this neder, the woman gets divorced from her husband. Because it's the type of neder that's beino leveina. The Chacham that did not give her the heter is not allowed to marry her. Right? Why? Because we are choshesh that maybe the reason that he didn't give her the heter is because he wanted to marry her. And he knew that if he wouldn't be matir, the husband would have to divorce. But the rabbi who had mi'un or chalitza done in front of him, yisa'enu. So then there's no problem with marrying this woman, because as the Gemara is going to explain, he is one of a bezdin. There are three people that this is done in front of, so it's not because of him, so therefore he would be allowed to marry her. It says the Gemara, hahitira yisa'enu. The Chacham only cannot marry this woman if he did not matter the neder. But let's say he did matter her neder, and therefore her husband does not have to divorce her, and he did anyway, then he would be able to marry her. Yisa ena. So b'mayaskina, what are we talking about exactly? Ilema b'chad, are we talking about one rabbi being matir? Chad mi matir matir, can one rabbi be matir neder? V'yaha amar, Rabbi Chiya bar Avin amar Rav, Amram, Tana hatar sadar b'shlosha, don't you need three to be matir neder, to uproot a neder? So ela b'tlasa, you're right, we're talking about three. But three? So mi chashidi. If there are three people who are being matir neder here, so why is there any chshad? V'hatznan, the seif of the Mishnah said, mi ano shechalta b'fanav yisa'en v'reishu bestin. The seif already said that three people would never have any worries. We're never choshed three people. So therefore, so why would we be choshed in the first place? Says the Gemara, la'olam b'chad, really the Reisha is talking about one person. We're talking about sometimes a yachid mumcha, an expert, can be matir neder by himself. And if that's true, that's why we say that if he asers this woman and he does not allow this neder, and therefore that causes a husband to divorce her, he is then not allowed to marry this woman. Continue for another minute. Mia no shechaltza. If me and her chalitza took place in front of him, taima de bezdin. So the only reason that it's allowed is because it's a bezdin. There are three people. Ha betray lo. Mashmid, if there was only two people, we wouldn't trust them. So maishta beha, why is that true? You know what? Let's stop here because the next lines are have a lot to talk about. Okay, we'll stop here. And we will continue.